Hello and welcome back to my podcast. I really should get a name for this podcast, but I don't know. So it's been a while. It's been almost a month, and we got a new assignment in history, and it's like a World War II assignment. And earlier in the year, I watched a documentary on a woman, and it was about her being a comfort woman in Japan, and I'll go into that a little bit like more later and give you the definition and stuff. But I was so intrigued that I decided that this was what I wanted my World War II project to be about. So I hope you enjoy. Okay, so let's get into exactly what the comfort women of Japan were, because I feel like comfort women is a very, like, it's a broad term. It doesn't specifically say what it's about, but I think it hints at what we all think it's about. So actually, the comfort women were women and girls forced into sexual slavery by the Imperial Japanese Army in occupied territories before and during World War II. I read a bunch of like firsthand accounts with women, which we'll get into later. That's another segment. So stay tuned for that. But the majority of them were teenagers. They were underage, 13, 14 to 17. That were the ages that I saw. So when I said like women and teens, it was mostly teenagers, the majority of which coming from Korea and China. But of course, any territory with the ruling of being Japan, their women were also in the comfort situation. Just to like give you a little bit of certain countries, we have obviously China, Korea, Burma, Thailand, Vietnam, Malaya, Taiwan, Portugal, New Guinea. So a lot of different places, the majority of which were from China and Korea though. And to kind of give you a time frame, this was about 1932 to 1945. So it wasn't just a one-year ordeal, even though that would be terrible nonetheless. It was a long time. So, you know, a lot of people were a part of this. A lot of women were a part of this. And apparently the Japanese government's reasoning behind it was to prevent atrocities like the rape of Nanking. So I guess it's Nanjing. I don't know. I think it's Nanjing. Sorry, that's my bad. So the rape of Nanjing was an episode of mass murder and mass rape committed by Japanese troops against the residents of Nanjing. Oh, I guess, or Nanking. Okay, so both apply. Then the capital of the Republic of China during the Second Sino-Japanese War. So basically a bunch of Japanese troops came into China and then started raping and murdering everybody. And so to prevent that, the Japanese government was like, oh, we'll just do it inside our own government. So any, I guess, injustices towards people was within the control of the government and therefore wouldn't get out anywhere. So yeah, a lot of the time, young women were abducted from their homes and some were promised work, like a nursing job or a really, really good job that would help pay their family. And then they would, of course, get on a train and then go to the Japanese camps or the brothels where they stayed. And obviously what would happen is they would be getting raped. But some of them were literally just grabbed off the street and taken literally into brothels without their consent. And the conditions were absolutely terrible. They were like just a couple. There were like repeated rapes that increased before battles, agonizing physical pain, pregnancy, sexually transmitted disease, and bleak conditions. But we'll get into that when I talk about the firsthand accounts. Speaking of firsthand accounts, here they are. So I read a lot of firsthand accounts from people, and I'm completely sorry, I'm probably going to butcher these names, so sorry in advance, but I don't think anybody gives a good representation of the conditions and the way that they lived than the people who were there themselves. So the first person I looked at was a woman named Chung Ok Sun. So sorry again if I'm butchering that. She was a woman from Korea. She was 14, 15. And some of the things she said was like, when she got abducted, like a Japanese soldier, I'm quoting her exactly, a Japanese soldier surprised me and took me away to the brothel without my consent, so that my parents never knew what had happened to their daughter. And then she says, like, 400 other Korean young girls and me had to serve over 5,000 Japanese soldiers as sex slaves every day, up to 40 men per day. So, I mean, think about that. Those conditions, 40 men per day. That's all day. And if women disobeyed, there were terrible, terrible consequences. So apparently she didn't really want to have sex with this guy, which is totally, totally understandable. But apparently he held a matchstick to her private parts until she obeyed him. And at the end, her private parts were oozing with blood. So he hurt her and then afterwards raped her. So yeah, which is absolutely awful and disgusting. Another woman, not Chung-ok's son, but a different woman who she ended up watching get killed. I don't remember what exactly she did. I think she asked why they had to do what they were doing. And basically she got punished very bad. Quote unquote, while we were watching, they took off her clothes, tied her legs and hands, and rolled her over a board with nails until the nails were covered with blood and pieces of her flesh. In the end, they cut off her head. Another Japanese, Yamamoto, told us that it's easy to kill you all, easier than killing dogs. He also said, since those Korean girls are crying because they have not eaten, boil the human flesh and make them eat it. So basically, if you disobeyed, you would be eventually killed, and it would be a public spectacle to the other women. They did a lot of stuff. If a woman had infections from being raped so many times, like a sexually transmitted disease, they would actually kill her to, quote unquote, like, stop the disease from spreading. And Chung Ok's son also said that they tattooed her on the inside of her lips, her chest, and her stomach, and her body, which I personally, I don't know. I don't know if I should give my opinion, but I think it would make it a little bit easier. That they're claiming her as an object, not as a person. So I guess that really, really explains how belittling it was. Another woman, Kam Ju Hwang, she said that if a woman got a disease, she usually vanished. We were also given 606 shots so that we would not get pregnant or that any pregnancies would result in miscarriage. She also said that we only received clothes 2 times per year and not enough food, only rice cakes and water. I was never paid for my quote unquote services. She said that she worked there for 5 years as a comfort woman, but she says that all her life she suffered for it. Her intestines are mostly removed because they were infected so many times. She has not been able to have intercourse because of the painful and shameful experiences. She cannot drink milk or fruit juices without feeling sick because it reminds her too much of the dirty things they made her do. So this was an issue not exactly at the time, although it definitely was, not just at the time, but it really, really affected these women. And I mean, if you can put it in perspective, you are offered a job. You go on the train to that job. You get to the brothel, realizing it doesn't add up. A man puts you in a room, and then you are raped every day for years on end. And most of the women didn't survive. So these people were lucky in the fact that they did survive, or unlucky because they had to carry it the rest of their lives. But the conditions were terrible. They would get raped over and over and over and over again. And the soldiers really treated them less than an animal, like an object that they could do with as they please. And the Japanese government stood behind it. So the last thing I really wanted to talk about was kind of the aftermath of it. Of course, the women had to deal with this for the rest of their lives, and it is something that is imprinted on their brain. But this was also an issue nationally for years afterwards. Actually, the Japanese government has been super reluctant to admit that they used comfort women during World War II. And they would just deny. And the women, some never made it back to their home country, and others returned as late as the 1990s. Those that made it home either kept their secret or lived a life marked by the shame of what they endured. Many of the women could not have children or suffered greatly from health problems. It was not until 2015 that the Japanese prime minister issued a formal apology. One of the big, big countries that really went after Japan, especially because they didn't admit anything, was Korea. There were individual women suing the Japanese government. They were asking for formal apology everywhere and then saying it wasn't enough, that they deserved more, which I totally agree with. But I think what makes this situation even worse is the fact that the aftermath wasn't recognized by the Japanese government. And even we live in the West, and not many people in the West know about this situation and what these women had to endure. So it became an issue for years after the war, even up till 2015, even up till today. I was looking at articles, and there were ones from 2 days ago about how the Korean government is still trying to get at the Japanese government. So this is an issue that continues to be prevalent even today. And the fact that these women who were treated so, so poorly haven't gotten anything, any recognition from the Japanese government, anything that makes their suffering a little bit easier, and they deserve it. So kind of a dark podcast, but one I think really needs to be talked about. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me. I hope you could learn from this, and obviously I hope, Ms. Brown, that you enjoy it, and hopefully learn something, as I learned so much from researching this, and it was super cool to research. Definitely check it out if you want more information about it, because I really just touched the surface over the whole situation. Really, if you have an interest in this, please research about it, because it is something that I think we need to be talking about. Thank you so much for listening. Hopefully I get a grade on this project. And I really enjoyed this project, and I really, really enjoyed doing this and researching this. So thank you, and have a good night.